I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture.
Our listeners, let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management,
sponsors,
or supporters of the station you're listening to. That happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Robert Merritt. And Robert's a fascinating individual. He was a homosexual for many years. He eventually became a heterosexual, became an evangelical Christian, a born-again Christian. And, of course, but he had a lot of very significant jobs working back in the government, working as a confidential informant for the government. And, of course, he played a part in the Watergate story, and we're going to be talking about what really happened in Watergate. And of course, you've been told all about Watergate and President Nixon, but let's get a debut from somebody who was there, who will tell you that most of what you think you know about Watergate isn't true. Robert, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Stern, and good evening to you and your audience, sir.
Why don't you just pick up, tell our listeners a little bit about people maybe who don't know you. Why don't you give them a little of your background, and that people may have heard you before, but we may have a lot of people this evening who've never heard of you or who heard from you before. Give your background, and then we'll get on into what really happened in Watergate.
Dr. Stan, if I may, and we discussed just off the air, that is, as I ask you, due to my health and the possibility of my being terminally ill, that you exhaust me in every way possible in extracting information from me for the public to know and for it to be a matter of record and history. I think it is going to be a grave, serious problem if people do not understand who Robert Merritt is. And when I say Robert Merritt, I'm referring to all the Robert Merritts out there. I'm referring to all the confidential informants, the CIs. Doctor, I'd like to just simply mention that you expressed the fact that my views are my own, and I want to make that totally 100% responsibly so. Also, too, if there are any people who have any children or who happens to be on the little weak side, to please excuse yourself from the room or turn the radio off, or especially to get your children off the air. I'm sorry, out of the room. I promise you faithfully that I will not use any bad language, and I hope that none will slip through. But I must ask you to please let me go forth with my program. I have my own agenda, and I want tonight, and especially tonight, not knowing how many times you're going to put me on the air, if any more at all, that people remember this night most and foremost of them all. And I would like to simply introduce myself as being from, and I'm not going to be graphic, I'm not going into details the way I did in your first show, and I apologize for that. I'm going to rush through this as quickly as possible. If anybody wants to know any details, they can simply go to my book called Watergate Exposed, and I'm not selling books, people. You can get it from the public library. I was told by your producer to go to bring forth any resources that I have, and I only have two. One is the Holy Bible, and the other one is my book, if you want facts as to what I did on this earth.
All right, and find out who wrote that book, because this was actually written by a gentleman who had set out many years ago to actually undermine you, or you set out to undermine him. I've forgotten how it worked, but Sydney, you approached him and asked him to help you write this book because you thought it was so important, and he agreed, didn't he?
Yes, you're referring to a man by the name of Douglas Caddy, but however, I am the author of my book.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and health care you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 and ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding
water. It's an equilibrium, right?
Easy to enjoy because it tastes great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Robert was just saying his great-great-grandfather was a slave owner. He owned a plantation. His great-great-grandmother was Jewish, so he is Jewish. And then, of course, he has certainly a black blood in him, so he's really sort of a combination of many, many races, but he considers himself Jewish. He also considers himself, at least today, a evangelical Christian. But go right ahead, Robert.
Okay, doctor, I am 69 years old. I'm told to be terminally ill, that I have myeloma of the lumbar in my back. I've been, I think the word is prognosed, perhaps, as being maybe 7 months to a year or so left to live on this earth. I'm not receiving any type of radiation or chemotherapy. I don't want it. I want to just die naturally the same way that I came in. As you described, I'm a mixture of many different races, many different cultures, and I was raised in a Christian home. At the age of 14 years old, due to the fact that my uncle, who was a professor at North Carolina University, was also the head of the Ku Klux Klan there, and who had very bitter ground between myself and him, I decided to protest against him by becoming a Catholic and started taking catechism. Worst mistake I ever made in my life because I was sexually molested. I'm sorry, I hate that word. I wasn't molested, I was raped. I was raped at the age of 14, 15 years old and continuously after that by two Catholic priests. And during this time that I was supposed to be receiving catechism, these priests, one of them has passed away, and the other one, he is no longer in the order, and when I called to inquire about him for the purposes of my book, I was, the lady of the Catholic diocese whispered in the phone, honey, says he's no longer with the Catholic churches, he left here due to sexual improprieties, whatever we can assume that means. So, anyways, my life was ruined, completely ruined at that time. At the my senior year of high school, my personality was changing. I had a nickname of Butch, and Butch was just a common name. But in the gay or homosexual world, it also means a masculine type of gay man. that stigma stayed with me because in the community I was becoming one way, one moment effeminate, another time rather masculine, but the homosexuality was spewing out of me. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take the fact too that my mother was an alcoholic. Excuse me. And all of these things were coming out, and I left my senior year about 2 months before graduation. And jumped on the Freedom Train and went to Washington, D.C. with Dr. King and joined the Civil Rights Movement. And from that point on, I stayed in Washington, D.C. to fight the Civil Rights Movement and also basically to get freedom and independence from the people in my community and to live the life of what I thought would be a great freedom thing of being a homosexual without being criticized, and I lived that way for like about 10 years. Doctor, in the early 1960s, and this was before the government had approached me, I was working for a place called Children's Hospital. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And Children's Hospital still exists today, but I was working for the older hospital there. And there's a couple of things I have to tell you about working there just to show you how my life was going completely berserk and crazy. I was working in the morgue as a, what they call a postmortem technician or deaner. This was assisting with autopsies. A lot of times I was just simply doing autopsies for the doctors. I had a doctor who was there named Dr. Camera. She's still a doctor, but she's in Canada. Was not allowed to get her license. She was not allowed to get her license, so she became what they call an extern, I think is the word in Canada, for someone who's a doctor but not permitted to become a doctor. And the reason is because she was a necrophiliac. Perhaps, Doctor, you could be more polite and explain that word to your audience.
Well, we don't really need to get into what necrophilia is. Anybody can look that up, but go right ahead.
All right, but the thing is I had some rather strange things. When a children's hospital was a place where there was no such thing as Medicaid, Medicare, or welfare agencies that provided services to poor children. So the children were left at the mercy of the doctors. Doctors who were doing a lot of experimentation. And I was called down one day to do an autopsy, start an autopsy on a 6-month-old baby girl. They had just died, and when I went down to the morgue, the body was still warm. I removed it. I put it on the table, prepared for the autopsy. And when I opened up the chest cavity and removed the rib cage, the heart hit 2 beats. And I literally screamed. And I've always felt to this day that I was responsible for killing that child. That was just one of several examples, Doctor. Not just one isolated case, but this child was not really pronounced dead in the sense that it should have been. And that was the type of doctors we had back then. And I'm sorry. Give me just a second. Oh. Anyways.
Now, we were going to get into the Watergate this evening.
Yes, I'm going in that direction, Doctor, as fast as I can possibly. Let me skip over this. To, you know, people are not here, but they can read it in the book. Anyways, Doctor, I moved on from there. I went to another hospital called Columbia Hospital for Women. I'm going to be very quick. And that is, I was working in the delivery ward as a delivery ward technician and helping to deliver babies. One of the women, I delivered many babies, by the way, in the hallway where they delivered rather quickly. But I just want to mention one particular case, which I had nothing to do with except assisting in the cleanup wraps. And that was a woman who came into the delivery ward to have a child, a cesarean section. And she had about 4 or 5 doctors attending her and a slew of nurses. Well, to make a long story short, this woman was the private personal secretary to President Lyndon Johnson. And the child, by the way, was quickly removed from the hospital, never to be known as to where it actually went to. And this was to be considered just what people may want to investigate was the love child of President Johnson. I'm going to move from there straight up to the American Psychiatric Association, which was just a few months before I had started working for the government. And I will never forget, I was in DuPont Circle, and the American Psych Association was just a half a block away. And I remember all of these people coming out of that building today, and this was a very conservative building. They were yelling and screaming and celebrating the fact that the American Psychiatric Association had announced that nationwide that homosexuality was no longer a disease. It was considered to be absolutely 100% normal, and that that set the standards and for the homosexuals in this country. I just want to criticize one thing, and I'm going to get off this subject too, because we did a story on it, and that is that, you know, people... You know, if you're in this age group or if you're not in this age group, I could care less. But the thing is we let this slip through our fingers. And, you know, if you're one of these people saying, oh, my son, my daughter, my grandchild, you know, is a homosexual and I love them and it's okay because I love them. You know, well, I have something to say to you. Go to hell. And I listen, this is not okay. This is not okay. You know, you need to look up in somewhere and look online or something and just see what two cute little boys, two cute little girls do in bed with each other if you think it's so damn nice. And I'm going to get off of that. That's all that needs to be said on that subject.
Okay, let's
I'm going to move straight up to the night that Carl Schauffler came to my apartment. This was Detective Carl Schauffler who cost me my job.
But I think that people have to understand that Robert certainly was a homosexual, and basically, so he understands the lifestyle, and of course, it's not all right. It's not all right for God. It's not healthy for the people. And it certainly is not something that we should be condoning. And yet, of course, society has condoned it, and even the church. Many of our churches don't even bother to speak out against it. And certainly we have with the highest echelons of both the Catholic and the Protestant Church, homosexual cells. But go right ahead.
Okay, the night of that Detective Carl Schauffler, who I explained to you before, was a hippie during that time. Just for the sake of people knowing the cast of characters in this whole thing.
Is the gentleman who approaches you to recruit you as a confidential informant for the government, and he himself is a homosexual. Go ahead.
Well, I'll explain that. But just for the people knowing, and I'll say it very quickly, is that I have blonde hair, I have green eyes, I have white skin. You know, there's no way in the world that you could look at me and say that I have any, not one iota of black blood in me, but I am half black. And, you know, I enjoy the fact after learning this to whom my father was, because I was able to walk in many, many circles and learning exactly what the true meaning of true feelings of how people felt of against black people. And I was able to walk into a black man's shoes for the first time in my life. and here I was half black. And blacks was one of my main targets with the government.
In other words, basically, you were monitoring them for the government?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's Robert Merritt. And Robert had a fascinating life, certainly as a confidential informant for the intelligence of or the FBI. I will be back in just a moment here as he tells the incredible story, and hopefully we'll soon get into Watergate.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Forward here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so Robert was then recruited as a confidential informant for the working for the FBI. And basically, of course, and he began to infiltrate all sorts of anti-war groups. Remember, this was the time of the Vietnam War. And basically, then he would organize these groups pretending to be one of them, and he would lead various marches and all sorts of things. But, of course, he was reporting all of the information on these people to the government. And, of course, they were spying on the people. Anybody who opposed the war, well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the war was wrong. It was philosophically wrong. We weren't fighting the communists. What people didn't understand at the time was that we were funding the Russians, who were funding the North Vietnamese, who were funding the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys, and they wouldn't let our boys win the war. We could have won it in 6 weeks. I was personally told that by four-star Marine General Lew Walton, by the American ambassador to Laos, William H. Sullivan, and both told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. All we had to do was invade North Vietnam. We didn't want to win the war any more than we wanted to win World War II. They dragged that on as long as they could. And they were phony wars, but the American people didn't understand the World War II, and they didn't understand Vietnam. And so basically, of course, Robert is there, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's infiltrating the other side. He's reporting back. And now they're keeping dossiers on all these terrible people who had the courage to speak out against a war that was immoral, because we were funding the enemy all during the war. We were never trying to win the war. We were sending our boys overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die. 58,000 American boys died in a war we never tried to win, where we financed the enemy during the whole war. But nobody ever talks about that sort of thing. But it was the whole thing was a great diversion as we moved into the great society. That's how we brought in Medicaid, and that's how we brought in Medicare. That's how we began moving towards the great society, towards a socialist America. That's what it was. It was a diversion. But the American people were never to understand what Vietnam was really about. But go right ahead, Robert. So basically, you're being a confidential informant. Then what happened?
Thank you, Doctor, for that explanation. It was very well said. In fact, you have taken a lot of weight off of me by explaining it to people. I just want to tell you that there were simple things that I was involved with. One, I want to explain to the people, being a homosexual was mandated. It was a qualification for me to have my job. And the reason is, and I'm not going into any more details than this, there was a hotel room that was rented at DuPont Circle. And in that room, I had to have sex with senators and congressmen, congressional senatorial aides, and United States ambassadors to the various countries. And it was to get a yay or nay on a House vote. It was to blackmail the different ambassadors into whatever the United States government wanted. And the plan worked very well because, like I said, sex was being done in these rooms. It was being secretly photographed, and conversations were all being recorded.
And now, of course, now these congressmen, the senators, the ambassadors, they all belong to the intelligence agencies. They would do what they were told, or, of course, they realized, of course, that the films and the whole thing would be outed. And the incident certainly, so many of our elected officials are homosexuals, closeted homosexuals, and now they're controlled by the intelligence agencies. Okay, go right ahead, Robert.
I've never done a kiss-and-tell type of book, and nor do I intend to at this point. Therefore, I'm not going to start naming names as to who was inside those rooms. I want to mention back to being the author of the book. I was the author of my own book. There was a man by the name of Douglas Taddy, who was an attorney for the Watergate Seven, who were the burglars of the Watergate. And Douglas Taddy was working for a CIA front organization connected to the White House and to the CIA. He was not a criminal defense attorney. He was not a criminal defense attorney. Now, he did show up on Saturday morning on the day that they were arraigned and was walking bewilderedly so through the great hallways of justice in the federal courthouse, where it's like a mausoleum on a weekend. And he was contacted at 3 o'clock in the morning by one of the Watergate burglars and was told the story, which he was already part of. He was a conspirator to the Watergate thing. Douglas Taddy is also a homosexual. He's also a pedophile. And his designs was to destroy my book and never to see that it was published. I had to, my book is not 100% told as the way that I want it. I'd say maybe only about 60 or 70% of the truth and all the facts are in my book. I had to stop and demand that the publisher go forth with publication immediately, or I was going to destroy my own book. And the reason for that is because when I was told by several people with connections with Carl Schauffler and others that Douglas Caddy was out to destroy my book. And
well, but he did a pretty good job with it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He got onto programs. He badmouthed me. He did a lot of things.
But he actually helped you write the books. And
he
the book is available. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people are believing that miracles is so really is a miracle. Miracle Food products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford. That's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Robert was very much involved during the Vietnam War with the anti-war movement and infiltrated that. And he's just talking about Sidney Jane Fonda. And Jane Fonda, of course, opposed the war. Well, I think she was right in opposing the war, but she was supporting the communists, and that was unconscionable. And she was supporting Sidney and attacking the American soldiers who were victims in this whole thing. In other words, basically, the boys were asked to go and to fight a no-win war. They were there, and they thought they were patriots. They thought they were fighting for America without understanding the whole thing was as phony as a $3 bill. And suddenly, I admire the soldiers. Even what they were doing was wrong. But Jane Fonda was right in criticizing the war, but to attack our soldiers and to attack America was philosophically wrong, and certainly deserves much of the criticism launched against her, not because she was against the war, but because she was against America, against our soldiers, and she was pro-communist, and that's unconscionable. So she was embracing evil to fight something that she thought was evil, but she didn't recognize it as such. But anyway, of course, Robert was dealing with Jane Fonda and Cynthia. But go right ahead, Robert.
In 1995, Detective Carl Schaffler died at John Hopkins University Hospital from an extremely, extremely rare blood disease, one that has not really been even been defined today by whatever he was supposed to have died from. My opinion is he was assassinated by his own people. He was an extremely sharp, very intelligent, very charismatic.
Now, who are you specifically talking about?
We're talking about Detective Carl Schaffler.
All right. This is the gentleman who had recruited you. Is that right?
Yes, that's
right,
correct.
All right. Now, before we go on, Robert, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your book. Do you have a website?
No, I'm sorry. I don't.
All right, fine. How can people get a copy of your book?
Well, they can just simply contact me. I only have 70 copies left, and I'll be more than happy to get rid of them. This is the last bunch that I have. The publisher will not give me any more copies. I'm extremely poor. Let's just put it that way. I can't afford to buy these things wholesale. But,
well, but basically, does the publisher have it? Is the publisher making
it? Oh, yes, of course. You can buy them. Get the book from Amazon.com.
Okay.
And the publisher is Trine, T-R-I-N-E.
Right, okay.
D-A-Y, Publishing Company. Or you can contact me at 646-670-9518 is my home number.
One more time, you always repeat the telephone number twice. What's the telephone number to call?
646-670-9518.
Okay, fine. Go right ahead.
And I just want to mention, Doctor, that since I have done the last shows with you, I have been inundated with phone calls from around the world, and very happily so. I'm always, my doormat is always welcome for anyone who wishes to contact me and talk to me. And it does not have to be to buy a book. I'm not here to sell books. Now, you want to talk to me about homosexuality? Fine. You want to talk to me about Watergate? Fine.
And one more time, the name of the book.
It's Watergate Exposed.
Watergate Exposed is the title of the book, and you can get that at Amazon. You can get that at Barnes & Noble. Watergate Exposed, or you can get that by calling Robert. And one more time, get your telephone number out.
Certainly, 646-670-9518.
Okay, now let's talk about Watergate and how you were involved in Watergate.
Okay. Watergate was exposed to me by a friend of mine who was a drag queen who worked on a switchboard, who overheard the conversation. I'm going to leave it as that because they can read the details in the book.
No, okay? I think they think people want to know about that. That's what the program is about, what really happened.
Okay. A good friend of mine by the name of Rita Reed, who was a drag queen, by the way, that was the female name. The real name was James Reed, also from West Virginia, same place I'm from. Rita was a very good friend of mine, and astonishingly so, looked exactly like a female, looked just exactly like Danny Thomas's daughter, Marla Thomas, I think her name was. Anyways, she came to me very excitedly so. The very next morning when she had gotten off from work, she worked from 4 to 12 midnight shift. And she came to me very bright and early and said, "Oh, Bush, says we got to talk. There's a place when we take a walk." So we took a walk away from the apartment, and she explained to me that she had worked on what they called the old PBX switchboards. These are the ones with the little rubber hoses and plugs that you punch into holes. You can listen in to conversations or connect the room or whatever. Before we had the computers. Anyways, Rita said that she'd heard the conversation, that there was a group of people who was planning to break into the Watergate break-in, and that the President of the United States was going to take a fall, and this would be the riddance of President Richard M. Nixon.
In other words, basically, that they were planning ahead of time the break-in at the Watergate Hotel, and then they were going to blame it on the President, even though the President had nothing to do with it. Is that, in essence, what she told you? Robert? Robert, are you there? Robert Merritt, are you there? Well, I don't know what happened to Robert. Cynthia, we may have to try to get him back again on the line. But basically, this is the essence of what was said. And basically, the whole idea was that the drag queen had actually overheard this. I'm going to ask our producer, is Robert there? Robert there at all?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know what happened. Anyways, it's funny that this only happens during certain times. But anyways...
I think for our listeners, sometimes I do believe that they do interfere and they do cut our guests off. When they're getting into something that's very sensitive, the last thing they want the American people to know is that the whole thing of Watergate was a scam. Go right ahead, Robert. So basically, you're told ahead of time that they're planning then on Sydney to break into the Watergate Hotel, and they're going to blame it on the president. So what do you do with the information? Robert, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Doctor, I'll try for the third time. President Richard Nixon was not guilty of Watergate. The only thing he was guilty of was the cover-up. Can you hear me, Doctor?
I can. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Okay, so what did you do when you got the information?
I just want to simply say this, and that is if you're the President of the United States and you're being accused of a third-rate burglary, which you have nothing to do with, a sleazeball crime, that, you know, you may very well contemplate in considering doing a cover-up. But this would be the only thing that President Nixon would have been involved in. But I know that he was not involved in the break-in at all.
All right. Now, who was behind the break-in? Why did they want to discredit Richard Nixon?
This was done through our military intelligence at the Pentagon, and also done in hand-in-hand with the FBI and also the CIA, but it was mainly a military operation. This was done through General Haig and also, the man who testified first at Watergate, what was his name? That's, I think, who they're trying to prevent me from saying on the air.
Well, are you talking about Oliver North? Was Oliver North involved in this?
No. This was the man who said that there's a cancer growing inside of the White House. He was the first one to testify before the...
All right, fine. Well, basically, then this was set up by military intelligence. Was it specifically designed to get Richard Nixon? In other words, was the whole thing done intentionally to discredit him?
Yes, it was done to discredit him, to get rid of him. So that General Haig and the other person, whose name escapes me, and I don't know why his name is familiar as mine, so they could...
There was G. Gordon Liddy. Was Liddy involved?
No, keep mentioning. This man has blonde hair and has black-rimmed glasses.
Fine. Well, go ahead. Basically, we don't have time to go through all of the people involved in Watergate. But basically, of course, they were planning then on putting on this scam, this phony break-in, so that they would have an incident, and of course they wanted to get caught, and then they were going to put it off onto Nixon. Go ahead.
Yes, it was done with the designs of a power play, Dr. Stanley. It was a power play so that these people could actually take over and control the White House. The man's name, who escapes me, by the way, his wife, was a madam at the Columbia Plaza Apartments, and a Marine.
Well, don't worry about the name. If it comes to you, fine. But why don't you give us the rest of the details? What happened when you got the information, Robert?
Okay, I contacted Carl Schaffler immediately and told him what I had. He became extremely excited, and he says, "I'll be back." He says, "Don't go nowhere." He brought back with him a CIA agent and a retired FBI agent, and they went over the story multiple times with me to get this thing just right. And then they swore me to secrecy, told me that I would have to relocate. And
this wasn't Howard Hunt, E. Howard Hunt.
The name excuse me, no.
Okay, go ahead.
No, E. Howard Hunt was by the way, was one of Douglas Caddy's clients.
All right, fine.
Who claims that he had inside
information. Okay, so basically you were sworn to secrecy, and so then what happened?
Yes. Well, a lot of things taking place after that. I was asked by the, asked by Carl Schauffler and by other people involved in the federal government to kill Douglas Caddy because he knew too much and it was to be done through a sexual act of using poisonous depositories.
All right, fine. Basically, was there anything else having to do with the Watergate that other than letting some of the FBI know that the Watergate affair was coming down and it was going to be used to get rid of Richard Nixon? Well, was there anything else about that?
As you can imagine, Dr. Manning, the media, was worldwide on this, and they had to get rid of me. They had to get me out of the picture and get me out of the area because a call for one for having personal reasons. He didn't want it to ever become known that there was a relationship between him and I. And the government did not want anyone to know that they didn't know about the relationship between Carl and I, but they didn't want it to be known that Carl and I were roommates. They didn't want my name to be brought up at all, period. They want me kept at the bottom of the totem pole and that was it. And that's exactly what happened. Carl Schauffler was called to testify before the Senate Select Committee, and my name was never, ever mentioned, not even one time, which was the biggest mistake in the world. If they had ever once had called me to testify, then I could have told them. By the way, at a later time, a few months later, I was subpoenaed by Senator Sam... another escape doctor.
All right, fine. Well, basically, okay, and if you don't remember all the names, but basically, was there anything else about Watergate then that was important?
Oh, there were so many, many things, Doctor. The Watergate guard, Frank Wills, was also a homosexual. He was involved in the whole planning of the things. He was... he had actually taped the doors to the building where the burglars could get in, and just where Carl Schauffler and him could get in. Carl had on Friday, June the 17th at midnight was Carl's birthday, and Carl told his sergeant and his other people at work that he wanted to stay after work and to do volunteer work. And he, instead of going home to Pennsylvania to be with his family for his birthday. You know, Dr. Stanley, you know, that's unheard of for any police officer anywhere. I'm going to volunteer time, you know, to work for the police department. But anyway, that's what he did. At 2:15 in the morning, on Carl's birthday, Carl had received the radio call, which he was parked only a couple blocks from the Watergate. He had taken the radio call to respond to the burglary at the Watergate, and he was one of the first officers on the scene.
All right, fine. And basically, of course, then these were people from military intelligence who staged this whole thing to get caught so that then they could incriminate President Nixon and then get him impeached. Is that right? Is this what it was all about?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay,
that's
fine. Really. And I think that's a pretty logical. I think there's no question at all. It was all staged. And basically, of course, it was blown up by the controlled media. So go ahead now. What happened after that?
I had been transferred to a different part of Northwest Washington to take on a new assignment of mafia activities involved in pornography and counterfeiting and other things. And this was with a man by the name of Buster Riggin. And by the way, the man's name is John Dean. John Dean is well and alive, lives in California, and he has threatened me so many times, by the way, to keep my effing mouth shut or he would have me killed. So, and his wife, Maureen Dean, they call her Mo, Mo. That was her nickname in Washington, D.C., and they had a nickname for her, Mo the Ho. So he's threatened to sue me to have me killed, and he is also one of Douglas Caddy's private clients. And Douglas Caddy himself has threatened me over and over about keeping my mouth shut about John Dean, his wife.
Well, no, but basically what part did they play? John Dean was one of the assistants.
John Dean was,
one of the assistants to Richard Nixon.
He was the first assistant to President Nixon, and he was working hand-in-hand with General Haig. I met John Dean and General Haig by coincidence with Carl. Carl was parked at DuPont Circle one day, and he told me, he said, "You got to hurry up and get out of my car. We were just sitting here just shooting the bull." And he said, "You got to get out of my car," he said, "because I got a meeting with these two big important people." Well, Carl was deliberately keeping me detained there by shooting his mouth. He knew what he was doing. Anyway, the car pulled up behind us, several cars. Well, the one man got out of the car with all this brass on. And I thought, my God, you know, he's not here to see Carl. Carl's a dirty-looking little hippie. Well, it turned out to be General Haig. The second car who pulled up, you know, was in a black limo. And it was John Dean. And I was introduced to them very quickly. And when Carl introduced me to John Dean, he said, "Oh, this is your right-hand man." He says, "John," he said, "if it wasn't for, Robert, he says, we wouldn't be where we are today." And John Dean, he knew exactly who it was. He got very embarrassed. He got red-faced, and he said, let's go. And he hurried up, got away from me very quickly. Thought we were being secretly photographed.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Robert Merritt, and he's telling us the background of what happened from his point of view as far as the Watergate break-in was concerned. And basically, it was staged to get rid of Richard Nixon. They wanted, of course, to get Nelson Rockefeller into the presidency, and that's what it was really all about. They were going to get rid of him. Gerald Ford then became the president. Gerald Ford appointed Nelson Rockefeller to be the vice president, and then there was an attempt on Gerald Ford's life, but of course it was unsuccessful, and Nelson Rockefeller never got to be the president of the United States.
Doctor, 60 seconds, please.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Beyond other things, who talked about designing...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Robert Merritt, and suddenly he's just giving us the background of his experiences working for the government, the various people he knew. Go right ahead, Robert.
They were talking about designing and isolating a germ cell, which turns out to be AIDS. And this was done back during the 1970s. When I questioned several doctors, was this possible to isolate this these things and to inject it into a human body or to pass it in some way, they all said yes. This is the same time that Martha Mitchell had contacted me at 2 o'clock in the morning, dead drunk, and she had Helen Thomas to call me up and say, "Oh, Mr. Mitt, say Martha's on the phone and she wants to talk to you." And she got on the phone and she says, "Oh, congratulations, Robert, congratulations. Thank you so much," she says, "for verifying my story and letting the world know that the president and all of them are sleazeball." I said, "Miss Mitchell," I said, "I never said that the president was a sleazeball." She said, "But yes, but you let all the rest of those pigs be known." And she was just ranting and raging. Of course, she was dead drunk at the time, too. But I never said anything bad about the president. And if I had my way, doctor, to this day, even though the president died a few years ago, I would have loved to have gotten at the bedside and to have apologized to President Nixon and to apologize for not letting him and his administration know what I knew ahead of time, instead of somebody like Carl Schlaffer and those people who undermined him and caused him his presidency and made him lose the job, because he should have never been disgraced the way that he did.
Well, it's one of those tragic things, but these are very, very clever and diabolical people. Okay, fine. So basically, is there anything else you'd like to tell us as far as your story of your life working as a confidential informant?
Father, I'm sure that when I disengage this line, there's going to be a million other things. I had so many notes, so many stuff to teach you, but I don't usually go by notes or be scripted at all. And I'm just hoping and praying to God that that you will allow me to come out with other shows to inform the public as to things that I have missed tonight. Because, yes, there are other things that they talked about, like the Scorpion Plan, which they said that these little Scorpion Plans were, and whether they were BSing me or not, I don't know, but they said that the Scorpions were some type of, like, little missile things around our major cities. They would rise up from the ground and destroy literally hundreds of thousands of American citizens at once.
Well, what are you talking about now? You're talking about some sort of, who would be installing these so-called scorpions?
I'm talking about this esoteric group of people who control and run the world today, and who's leading us into a one-world power.
You know, basically you believe that there then is some sort of an invisible group out there, a very powerful, small group that's running things behind the scenes.
Yes, there is. There is. And Carl Schlaffer always said that. He always says that he referred to them as an esoteric group.
Well, but basically, was he actively working for them? Was he for them, or was he against them?
No, he was working for them and with them. And he was certainly not against them. But unfortunately, his premature death, you know, stopped this whole thing. I wish that he could have lived just a few more years where I could have learned much more about that group and as to what they were really up to.
Now, this gentleman you're speaking of, is this the FBI informant you're speaking of now?
I'm speaking of Detective Carl Schlaffer.
Okay, fine.
By the way, can I just say this very quickly? Detective Carl Schlaffer was never, ever a detective with the Metropolitan Police Department. He was working hand-in-hand with military intelligence. He was being paid by them. He never worked for the FBI, the CIA, or the D.C. Police Department. He was working only for military intelligence.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been Robert Merritt. And, Robert, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Do you have any parting thoughts before we let you go?
Yes, I wish that people would call me. It can be more than the phone calls. I know I'm being inundated with phone calls right now, but you know, they give me the greatest pleasure in the world.
Go ahead and get your telephone number off one more time, and then we'll let you go.
646-670-6700. 646-670-9518.
One more time.
646-670-9518.
God bless. Thanks very much. Appreciate you being with us, Robert. Good night. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of Bradley Dean. And he's going to be giving us some of the experiences he has. Bradley does his own radio program. He has a great deal of fascinating information. He's always a pleasure to have with us, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to get him on the line. He doesn't seem to be answering the program, so if you're out there listening and you have something you'd like to talk about, I have nothing planned. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd be glad to put you on and have you fill in until Bradley becomes available. That's 1-888-245 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But basically, we'll be back in just a minute with Bradley, or give us a call.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we don't seem to be getting our regularly scheduled guest on the line, so if you're out there and you have something you'd like to talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Would you like to talk certainly about the fact that Adolf Hitler did not die in the bunker there in Berlin, as we've been told, because basically we have at least three different people, three different sources of information we've been able to put together, the fact that Adolf Hitler was actually was allowed to survive. He was smuggled to South America, and we've talked to Gerald Williams, who actually co-authored a book called Grey Wolf. We've talked to certainly Dr. Jerome Corsi, whose book, Hunting Hitler. And then, of course, we had a guest on certainly just a couple of nights ago who had actually from Shark Hunters. And basically, going into the background, they actually have, they've been to South America. They've talked to the people in South America who actually had talked to Adolf Hitler. This is the most amazing story. And basically, there were people who had actually taken care of Adolf Hitler. Hitler. There are people who had known Adolf Hitler, but this information has been actively suppressed in the United States because, of course, the media is controlled, our reality is controlled, and suddenly. But there are all sorts of information in the archives, and if you read either the book, The Gray Wolf, or read the book, certainly Hunting Hitler, you'll actually see duplicates, certainly, of the things that you can actually find in the archives. It will tell you about, certainly, the background of documenting the fact that J. Edgar Hoover knew that Hitler survived. Stalin knew that Hitler survived. The naval intelligence knew that Hitler had survived, but everything has been done through a coordinated effort to keep the American people from knowing that Adolf Hitler survived. And certainly, basically, of course, President Eisenhower knew Hitler survived. Why did they cover this up? Because Adolf, we had actually funded the Nazis. We funded the Nazis from the very inception. And that is really what's so vitally important for you to understand. Hitler was deeply involved in the occult, and so were our leaders. World War II was as phony as a $3 bill. I telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 and ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bradley Dean, and Bradley, of course, is going to be talking about the fact that Sydney, every male in America, Sydney is a member of the militia up to about 45 anyway, Sydney from the teenagers right up to the 45. And the whole idea is that the militia were to be the source of law and order in our society when they were called up to maintain law and order in the United States. Sydney, we have a unique nation, and we're moving into a period, in my estimation, of increasing uncertainty. There's going to be a financial collapse in this country. One, because suddenly we find out that there's no more money for food stamps. They're going to have 50 million people used to entitled to food stamps, and they're not going to be getting them. We're going to be cutting back, certainly, on all the freebies as far as health care is concerned and all the other wonderful things that the government is doing, because the government is going to run out of money, and they know very well what is going to happen. And because basically, we're either going to have to take control locally of our communities from the state level. We're going to have to take America back from the ground level up, because otherwise, of course, they will impose a dictatorship from the top down. Bradley, you pick up the story about the importance of the militia and how we need to understand that, Sydney, every able-bodied citizen is a member of the militia and answerable to his state government. Go ahead.
That's right. As a matter of fact, let's start it off with the Constitution of the United States. Article 1, Section 8 says to provide for calling for the militia to execute the laws of the Union. Of course, their constitutional republic based off common law. And the seedbed, of course, is the Declaration of Independence. And what is the purpose of the militia? Nothing more than to suppress insurrections and repeal invasions. But isn't it interesting, friends, how the state-run media will target militia as being a bad thing? It's like the government calling any group of people in the United States of America as bad, or the people in this country calling the government as bad, due to the fact that when we look at who we are, it is we the people, and those that serve we the people derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. So we're in this together. It's not us against them or them against us. We are in this together. So what we need to do is take responsibility and correct ourselves, and that's how we're going to actually heal our land before a just and a holy God, if we choose so to do it according to his dictates, his commandments, not the commandments of men. But in speaking of the militia and how we are the militia, friends, we need to look at what President George Washington rightly said. And I'm not being facetious when I say this, but George Washington was the first president of the United States, and he said this. He said, to be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace. Exactly. And when we take a look at what's going on in this country, keep in mind what George Washington said, because America knows for the most part that the one great obstacle to this administration is them trying to get over the disarming of the American people. And folks, if it's not the president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, case in point, blaming the American people for the crimes that he and his administration are responsible for committing in Mexico. For those that did not know, it was President Barack Hussein Obama who went to Mexico about a year ago and actually told the American people that the American people were responsible for the crimes that he and his administration actually contrived. Keep in mind the 300 Mexicans that were killed. That includes an American beauty queen. And we can look at our Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, who was actually gunned down as well. The American people are not responsible for that. It was the administration and the president that were responsible for that directly. Then what we have is we have sidekick Attorney General Eric Holder trying to teach the media to brainwash America's young. Friends, if you'd like to take the time to go online and check out YouTube, check out Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, actually calling a conference with the media, telling them that we needed to brainwash the next generation. You can go ahead and see him say it straight out of his own mouth. And when you look at that, we have in concert, they have an ally. I'm sure you'll know who this man is and his fellow minion, the relentless criminal from New York. His name is former Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is assaulting the Second Amendment rights of those in other states within our union as well. Now, I think what's important for people to understand, oftentimes when we see those in government that are trying to disarm the American people, what we always see is we always see the government to be found out to arm themselves. And in a sense, look at the peasants, that would be us, America. as if we couldn't be armed to defend ourselves, but for some reason they can go ahead and defend themselves. Well, if we ever take the time to pull the curtain back on some of these mayors, for example, these anti-gunner politicians across the country, you'll always find, friends, that they're armed for some reason. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to take it a step further and show you actually who these people are. Case in point, Michael Bloomberg. This guy is discovered, as we pull the curtain back on him, as one mayor convicted of perjury, embezzlement, another, speaking of the anti-gunner mayors, I'm sorry, one mayor was convicted of perjury, another embezzlement, another mayor was convicted of attempted child molestation, and another was convicted of assault and racketeering. There was even one mayor, these anti-gunner mayors, who was one who was convicted on bribery, fraud, money laundering, and another who was actually convicted of domestic violence. He actually assaulted a cop, this one particular anti-gun mayor. So again, friends, when you begin to look at those that are calling for the American people to forfeit their rights, to bear arms to defend themselves, you can rest assured, friends, that they are criminals themselves. Hands down, do your homework. You'll find what I'm telling you is exactly right on the money. You'll also notice, friends, that they, these politicians, these statesmen, these stateswomen, stateswomen is a good word for those that serve we the people. A politician is not so much, well, it's just not a good word. But let's speak of these politicians. These politicians swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, so help me God. And keep in mind, they also have their hand in the Bible. And I also want to let you know, friends, just a little side note before I start rolling with some of these quotes from our forefathers as to who the militia is. I also want you to understand that they do not have the right to desecrate the memories of those who fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution of the United States. Now, who are those people that fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution of the United States? Who are those that sacrificed to give us the freedoms that we have today? Well, your grandpas, your grandmas, perhaps your moms, your dads, your uncles, your aunts, your cousins, and maybe even your brothers or your sisters that have actually laid down their all to give us what we have. I want you to understand first and foremost that those that serve we the people do not have a right to break the law. They have not been put into a position to act as the demigod and rule over us peasants while they themselves put themselves up to be something that they are not. They work for we the people. In other words, they are our employers, not the employee. And I also want you to know and keep in mind, again, one more time before I start to roll here, that they do not have the right to desecrate the memories of those that paid the ultimate sacrifice to give us the freedoms and them the privilege to serve we the people. So what we'll do is we'll go from that point on. I want you to understand that the Second Amendment, Article 2 of the Bill of Rights states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, listen carefully, the right of the people to keep, and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, infringed means broken or violated. Now, what we're seeing today is there's certain criminal politicians, judges, legislators, activists, and the such that know what they cannot do is get through the front door with the American people because it's flat on its face when we talk about a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So what they want to do is they want to start to dissect the word militia. So, again, they say that it's only for the militia to bear arms. And we're also told to the state-run media, of course, that our modern-day military is the militia. But let me ask you something. Are they really? Because when you go back and you study history, and by the way, our forefathers, keep in mind, threw off a tyrant named King George. And how did they do that? They did that by bearing arms. And when we begin to look at history, we go to our forefathers, again, reading the Declaration of Independence. It's a documentation of usurpations of a king tyrant that had no business ruling over any group of people. That's why our forefathers threw him off, as well as the 13 colonies, by signing the Declaration of Independence. Now, when I read some of these quotes, you can go ahead and sit down, because it's rest assured, friends, very satisfying. It brings consolation. It brings solidification to what our forefathers said, to give you the interpretation in the media of Article 2 of the Bill of Rights. I want you also to keep in mind that we are the people. Congress has no power to disarm the militia. That's us. Now listen carefully. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal government or state government. But where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. This man's name was Kent Cox. He was a delegate for Pennsylvania to the Continental Congress, the Pennsylvania Gazette, February 20, 1788, if you'd like to check it out. So what I want to do, instead of highlighting dictators and their deceptive methods and disarming their people, because we're seeing this today, before a mass genocide that always takes place, friends, because it's not about, it's about gun control, it's about control. What I want to do is take a look at what some of our founding fathers said about guns, the average citizen's rights, that would be me and you, to own them, and again, who the militia really was and is. So let's go to the second president of the United States. What did he have to say about the right to bear arms? He said, arms in the hands of the citizens may be used at individual discretion for the defense of the country, the overthrow of tyranny, or private self-defense. You know, it's interesting, Stan. It's interesting, friends, when I go into stores or restaurants or gas stations across the country.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, Bradley. We'll be back in a moment with Bradley Dean. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the freedom of our society, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bradley is simply pointing out that if you want to have crime, why you disarm the people? And basically, of course, when you put a sign up on a building and says, no guns allowed, what you mean is certainly come ahead and you can rob us because we have no means to protect ourselves. If you look simply and compare, say, Virginia, which is right next to Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a no-gun site, and no guns are allowed for the population. And crime is rampant, one of the highest criminal rates of violent gun crime in the world. Virginia, where they actually have the right of people to keep and bear arms, not only that, but the right of people, many of the people there have a right to carry a gun permit. You have very, very low crime. Why? Because criminals know that people are armed. So basically, when the people are armed, why, you have less crime. When you take the guns away, you have more crime. And so what the gun grabbers want, the Obamas, the holders of this country, they want to disarm the people so that they can enslave them, knowing full well this is going to lead to all sorts of problems. Of course, they keep talking about the war on terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, the war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill. Why? Well, if we were had the war on terrorism, why do they have all sorts of violence over in Iraq and Afghanistan? But we have very, very little violence here. We've had one or two incidents going all the way back to September 11, 2001. It's because, of course, this whole war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill. They want to use that to justify taking the freedom away from the American people. And if you go suddenly over to the Near East, the Middle East today, you find that we are financing the Taliban. In fact, we'll be doing a program with a gentleman who's written a book on how we finance the Taliban. We finance the Taliban so we can, of course, justify having ever more control over the American people. Go right ahead, Bradley.
You know, I wanted to add to that, too, and this could be a second topic, but I did want to add to that that Condoleezza Rice, who sat under Bush's regime, actually stated that Stalin created terror for a political tool to bring about the control that he needed for his totalitarian government. So Stalinism, terrorism, was actually created by Stalin to bring it about in the order as he was creating the chaos. And now, I mean, call me crazy, Stan, but wasn't it George Bush Sr. that actually called for a new world order over 212 times from the presidential bully pulpit back in the 90s? And he also stated during one of his comments talking about a new world order that out of chaos, we can create a new order. And this is exactly what we're seeing today. And then when we study out George W. Bush and George Bush Sr. and Prescott Bush, boy, it gets a little strange because most people, most conservatives today are talking about how much they miss the Bushes being in office. When in fact, when you begin to look and pull the curtain back on the Bushes, you'll find out that Prescott Bush was financing Hitler's war illegally.
And I think that's really so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. But if you go up on the internet and Google in City Prescott Bush and financing the Nazis, you'll find that Prescott Bush was actually indicted in 1942 because, of course, he was funding the Nazi movement. And you're never going to hear that but from the controlled media, but the information is there. And you can actually demonstrate this using your own computer. And, of course, what they did is, of course, we needed an enemy. And so they financed a Prescott Bush, Brown Brothers, Harriman. The bank he worked for actually was doing everything they could to finance Adolf Hitler so we could have a war. And basically, of course, George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, went right along with this whole concept of a phony war on terrorism. And basically, of course, you get into the background of what both of these people did. They financed the enemy so they could justify ever more control in the hands of the government. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. And here we have, as a matter of fact, I spoke about that today on our radio program, Stan. And it's interesting because people don't put two and two together. But again, just to kind of finalize and bring about a confirmation concerning the topic of September 11th, I just don't know where the American people have been, because over the last 12 years, it's the American people that have been under attack by their own government on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis. And now we're under total assault by an administration that is actually supporting our enemies from the White House, even having Ramadan entertaining America's sworn enemies in the White House. And America still thinks that this administration is, well, it's safe enough to go to sleep at night. But the fact of the matter is once we begin to look at history, friends, it is repeating itself in the faces of the American people today.
Amen to that. Go right ahead.
I was just talking about confirmation concerning the topic of 9/11. But what I'd like to do is I'll get back to the topic of who the militia really is. And I like the little bunny trails because I know they're prophetic and I know that they feed everybody. But I got to stick to the topic today, so I'll do my best. The Second Amendment...
Hold that thought. We're going to have to interrupt you. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley. And most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, the is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bradley Dean. We're simply talking about the meaning of the Second Amendment. It says that well-regulated militia being necessary for the preservation of freedom, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. Why? Because we, the people, were the militia. The militia was a common individual, and certainly they would certainly be mobilized and organized when they were needed to defend the country, but they wanted everybody to have a weapon, because that's how we would be able to defend ourselves, not only certainly from outside invaders, but from those within our own government who wanted to establish a dictatorship. And basically, there always have been those who want a dictatorship. They talk about how terrible weapons are, but you notice they want weapons themselves. We have hypocrites like Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, who hates freedom, or who doesn't want the people to have weapons, but she carried a weapon to protect herself because she thought her weapon, her life was in danger. So she carried a weapon, but she wants to disarm the public. She gives hypocrisy a bad name. Well, before we go on, Brad, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get in touch with your ministry and get your information, and then we'll go ahead with your discussion of this right of the Second Amendment and its true meaning. Go right ahead, Bradley.
You can go ahead and check out sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. We've got a documentary series called My War, which we've done across the high schools in 24 different states and 350 high schools. As a matter of fact, we just got back from doing another event in Memphis and in Tupelo, Mississippi, just this last week. But if you'd like to see the message that we're taking into the public arenas, first and foremost, please do understand that we're not asking for permission to obey God and the laws of our constitutional republic. We're taking them to the students in high schools, elementary schools, and or colleges, as well are we doing tea parties, churches, prisons, so on and so forth. And we want to equip the people with our history and to bring forth history with the power of God. And the best way to do that is to see it for yourself and tell us what you think. You can go to youcanruninternational.com. The documentary is called My War. Youcanruninternational.com. The documentary is called My War. As a matter of fact, we even talk about the Second Amendment within that documentary series as well. And it's talking about the lines as to what we're talking about today. And again, we need to wake up the American people to the fact that we are the militia. We have rights. And when we read the Bill of Rights, we need to understand that that is the Bill of Thou Shall Not for the government. We also serve, when we're talking about government, we need to understand that government is limited within its powers. And again, people, let me say it this way so everybody can understand simply. They don't have a right to break the laws of our constitutional republic. You can run international.com and or you can listen to us 6 days a week on sonsoflibertyradio.com. In saying that, we're talking about the Article 2 of the Bill of Rights, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, broken, or violated. And I just wrote... I just wrote this article called Who is the Militia? And I'm quoting George Mason right now. And again, I want you to listen carefully as to what he said. He said, when the resolution of enslaving America was formed in Great Britain, he said the British Parliament was advised by an artful man who was governor of Pennsylvania to disarm the people. And the way that he did that, or advised to do that, this artful man, he said, it was the best and most effectual way to enslave them, but that they should not do it openly, but weaken them and let them sink in gradually. And when you begin to take a look at what they're teaching kids through International Baccalaureate in public high schools and elementary schools today, they're teaching them disarmament. If that's not good enough for you, that's all they have to do is go to something that Hollywood's promoting, because they're teaching the young people as to how to commit the crime. And there are the politicians, the gun grabbers, saying, hey, listen, these kids are going out there and actually committing crimes that Hollywood has taught them. Instead of them dealing with Hollywood, they want to go ahead and disarm the American people. See how it works for them?
And basically, I think, why do we have crime in America? Why we've taken morality out of our schools. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken prayer out of our schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments that say, thou shalt not kill, out of our schools. And when you destroy the moral fabric of a society, of course you're going to have crime. In fact, basically, because you've destroyed the moral fabric and this increased tempo of violence, we have ever more need for the people to have weapons. But we never never used to have the degree of violence or killing in America that we have today. And it is simply because they've taken the moral fabric of our society. Maybe we ought to put God back in schools. Maybe we ought to teach our young people, thou shalt not kill. And maybe we wouldn't have as much killing as we do, but nobody talks about that. Oh, no, we got to take the guns away from the people. And basically, of course, that's the worst thing, because we know in the areas where the people have guns, you have less crime. In the areas like New York City, like Los Angeles, like Washington, D.C., where there are no guns, why you have a higher level of violence. And in the adjacent cities, for instance, in Virginia, adjacent to Washington, D.C., where they have the right to, for the people to carry and have weapons, while you have a very low crime rate. You go right across the river into Washington, D.C., where you have an astronomical crime rate because, of course, the people have no weapons to defend themselves with. Go right ahead, Bradley.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're seeing, as a matter of fact, Stan. Even when I'm doing high school assemblies, they're beginning to. As a matter of fact, I did a high school assembly program in Bemidji, Minnesota, Red Lake, Minnesota, up in Bemidji. A 17-year-old kid named Jeff Weiss actually walked into the school after he killed both his grandpa and his grandma. His grandpa was the sheriff of that community. And he walked inside the school and he shot up the school. He shot seven of his friends, so he killed nine people that day, including himself. When I did that high school assembly a couple of years back, now they have fences around the schools. I'm seeing this across the country, fences around the schoolyard. They have metal detectors inside. They have armed guards. They have video surveillance cameras everywhere. As a matter of fact, a lot of the high schools that I've done, to be quite honest with you, I wasn't sure if I was going to get shot down doing the assembly that day. And there's also been a couple of schools that we did across the country. And, of course, the parents don't know this, but there was bomb threats in the public schools. And we don't hear about none of this stuff. And what they're doing is they're teaching kids to be ruled by bayonets rather than the word of God, as you were talking about earlier. And it was Charles Spurgeon that rightly said, lower the law and you dim the light by which man perceives his own guilt. No longer are they guilty of breaking a law, because the Supreme Court in 1962 said it was no longer a permissible objective for the kids to study and venerate the Ten Commandments. They might obey them, they said. That's impermissible. And the American people stood down and allowed them to do that. And what America needs to do is stand up. And what we see, Stan, and really this is what it comes down to, friends, history repeats itself when a nation departs from God. But once millions of people are destroyed, as well as their country destroyed, what do they always return back to? For the most part, what they should return back to. The God that they shouldn't have left in the first place. And that's why our forefathers continuously warned us to study the past so history would not repeat itself. And we have the longest standing constitution in modern history, friends, 238 years. God has blessed America. Now it's time for the American people, namely the 78% that name the name of Christ, to depart from iniquity and to bless God by keeping his commandments. I'm talking about the militia here, and it kind of jacks me up a little bit. And youth talk, that makes me really mad, because we're here in this position. We have our backs up against the wall. We've been painted in the corner, because that's all we've done about the problems today, friends, is talk about it rather than obey the God that gave us this country in the first place. And when we look at this country, we can see where less than 3% of the population was used to establish this country, with the flags flying, appeal to heaven, and no king but King Jesus. Now we see less than 1.6% of the population through the state-run media, who has a 21% approval rating. In other words, friends, nobody believes what the media says. The less than 1.6% of the population are being used to destroy this country today. And I also want to encourage the people to understand that the Saul Alinsky student in the White House right now, one of the methodologies is to cause the people to believe that there's a lot more of them than there really is. We're going to look on that day, on Judgment Day. The Bible tells us we're going to look at him who deceived the nations, and we're going to say it's him that deceived the people. This is all taking place in your country through deception. For example, the homosexual agenda. I know I'm getting off on a bunny trail, but I'm just going to prophetically follow it. The homosexual agenda, people are not for it, but they're pushing it on the American people down the throats. If it's not through the Grammys, then it's through the Super Bowl. If it's not through the Grammys and the Super Bowl, then it's in public schools against the will of the people, because what they're telling the people is everybody's accepting of it. And guess what's coming in right behind the homosexual agenda, friends, as they're being used as a political battering ram, a Sharia law. And we're seeing this all across the country today, too. I don't mean to get off track here, but I believe I'm on track when I'm telling you this stuff, that we can do this. But as Stan, as you continuously tell us over and over and over again, I do not believe that we're going to get out of this unscathed. We have allowed more than 57 million babies to be murdered on our watch because America fell for the fact that the government now had the right to tell the people that they have a choice to kill their baby if they want to. Government asserts their authority. It's never been law. It may look like law, have the color of law, but friends, it is not the law because God said, thou shalt not kill. And yet America said to the government, no, go ahead and kill. And isn't it also interesting, instead of taking responsibility and raising up the baby for the laws that they violated before a just and a holy God, they get impregnated by fornicating or committing adultery, and then what they want to do is get rid of the guilt so they kill the fruit of their womb. And then we act like for some reason we're not going to stand before a just and a holy God on Judgment Day, where Scripture tells us it's appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. We're going to stand before a just and a holy God, friends. But I'm telling you, we can do this thing, not because I say it, but because God says it. He's in the generation of the righteous, and the righteous need to stand up. We need to repent for our nation. We need to be like the Scottish reformer John Knox when he said, give me America, he said, give me Scotland or I die. The righteous in this land need to stand up and say, give me America or I die. He will answer a prayer like that. And if one man, one fatherless child can be used to do what he's doing today, namely this kid on the phone, that would be me. God can put me in 53 countries and hundreds of high schools and colleges and reaching millions of people over the last 19 years of my life. I'm telling you what, if one person can do that, what could he do with the whole slew of them? We could ask history. We could ask the forefathers, the patriarchs, Gideon, the such. But when I'm talking about, you know, the right to bear arms here, if I can even bring about the coalition of the correlation here, isn't it interesting that the American people, I was just in Memphis, Tennessee, talking about this very topic. I said, does anybody see the correlation here? We have a government trying to strip away our rights to protect ourselves. But if you keep in mind over the last, how many years since 1973, the American people have stripped the baby in the womb and their rights to live and be protected away. It's as if God is looking down now and saying, how do you like this? Now I got a foreign nation that wants to take off your head because if you don't believe in Muhammad, they want to kill the infidels. Well, that's exactly what we've been seeing in the womb. And if you see these babies being decapitated and sucked apart and sailing to death in the womb, America, you might want to take a look at what's going on in your country, because I believe what's happening is we're beginning to see a harvest that we reap what we sowed, and what we have sowed is apathy. And instead of standing up for the lives of the babies in the womb, now all of a sudden we're becoming the prey, and now all of a sudden we have a government trying to disarm us, as if the Lord is saying, you didn't want to protect them, therefore I'm going to strip your defenses away from you to see how you feel. But guess what, friends? We still have the mercy of God intact. We still have the freedom to do the right thing. And that's why we're talking about the right to bear arms. If anybody knows a little history of Joseph Stalin, he said he couldn't have killed and murdered millions of his own people had not they forfeited their right to bear arms, their guns. Of course, when you begin to look at dictators, that's exactly what they want to do. They want to squeeze your rights right out of your hands so you can't defend yourself. Ask Hitler. Ask Mao Zedong, ask any dictator. They all do the same thing. But we're talking about our forefathers right now. We're talking about the militia and who the militia is. Listen to again what George Mason said. He said, the people have a right to mass and to bear arms, that a well-regulated militia composed of who? Composed of the body of the people, that's you, America, trained to arms, that's you, America, is the proper and natural and self-defense of a free state. So let me ask you the question, who is the militia? You are the militia. You have a right to bear arms, not a privilege. The state gives you privileges, but your rights didn't come from the state. They came from God. And John F. Kennedy rightly said that back in the 60s. He said, think not that your rights come from the generosity of the state. They come not from the state, but from the hand of God. And therefore, if we want to ensure our rights, then we're going to have to fight for them. One more point concerning government. The whole purpose of government, friends, is to ensure your rights. not to strip them away. And you're seeing the exact opposite of their purpose alive and well today. But we can deal with this if we're willing to come together and do this. Our forefathers did not arm the American people for the purpose of hunting, but rather to protect them from themselves from those who were doing the hunting, namely in their time, speaking of our forefathers, the tyrant King George. So in essence, the Second Amendment is only there to vouchsafe our right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and to ensure all of other rights that have been given unto us by our Creator, Declaration of Independence. So the wisdom of the framers of the Constitution is found consistent with the lessons from the Bible that they use as their bedrock for civil law. The people's individual protection should always be a primary concern for a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. So again, it comes back to, it's not they, them, they, the government. And one of the points that you made earlier, Stan, was excellent. You said, why do they want to disarm the American people, but yet they want arms? It's like the UN, when you go to New York, you see the handgun with the snub nose tied to a knot. But yet when you walk inside of their building, see, they want to disarm the people so bad, but when you walk inside their front doors, you have armed guards protecting themselves against we the people. And here we are. It's not confusion of faith, friends. It's very telling as to what's going on here. So in a righteous country, friends, self-government reigns by the constraint of Christian morals, you know, like thou shalt not kill. The civil government that desires such a monopoly of force, i.e., they are the only ones with guns, as I just stated, is a threat to the lives, liberty, and the property of its citizens. That's me and you. So then the government ceases to be of and for the people. Now it's they, the government. Let me go back to the President of the United States. I love this. I'll bring this to a resolve, an understanding. President George Washington said, from the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, he said the rifle and pistol are equally indispensable. He ends with this. The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. He said, they deserve a place of honor in all that is good. So there we have it. Friends, who is the militia? 17 to 44, 17 to 45 years old. Federal code, my friends. You are the militia, all male, 17 to 45 years old. So again, when we look at government and we look at the military and they want to say militia is only those in the military, wait a second, who's the military?
We'll be back in just a moment here with Bradley Dean, and listen to what he's saying. He's absolutely right.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Moment here. Well, Bradley is just saying that over in England, this woman really wanted to keep people from breaking into her home. She put chicken wire around her home. Go ahead and finish up your story, and then we'll let you go.
What she said is she wanted to put chicken wire around her house so no one could no longer intrude into her house and beat her. So what she did is she put that chicken wire around her house. Well, that government over in England actually took her to court, just so you guys can understand what happens to a nation that disarms its own people. Not only does crime go up, but listen to the stupidity. Listen to the criminal mentality. It's a sick mentality. The judge in that case actually told and ordered that elderly woman to pull down the chicken wire lest she should hurt one of the intruders.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, Bradley. God bless you. I think your message is so vitally important. Thank you so much. And we're going to look forward to having you with us back again real soon. Your message is clear and concise. Freedom is available only to people who are willing to stand up and fight for it. God bless, and thanks so much, Bradley.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. And, of course, basically, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who want a dictatorship. If you don't know who they are, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do have four CD sets on guns. You need to have the right of the people to keep and bear arms is vitally important. Why? Because there are people who want a dictatorship. Who are they? They're what they call this group of, well, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. They want to regulate every aspect of our society. And they kill people, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't believe that they kill people, you need to get our four CD set on Deadly Assassins, where I interview CIA assassins who actually are trained to kill people. And they talk about the people that they've been assigned to kill. And that, of course, you need. If you certainly stand up to them, they'll come after you. You need to get our four CD set on Congressman Larry McDonald. Actually, he was actually his plane was shot down. He was forced to land in Sakhalin Island, and basically, then he was kidnapped by the Russians and put in a prison. You need to get the four CD set on Congressman Larry McDonald. We have so much information you're not going to get elsewhere. You need to understand that there really are evil people out there. You need to understand that we actually finance the Nazis. We finance the Nazis. If you haven't read John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret, we carry the book, America's Nazi Secret. We carry Tony Sutton's wonderful book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. These books are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We helped the Nazi war criminals escape to South America. Following the Second World War, we brought some of them here to America. That's a four CD set called Operation Paperclip. These are the things that you'll never hear discussed through regular channels, because the last thing they want you to know is we financed and created the Nazi movement so we could have World War II, so we could bring in the United Nations, just exactly as now they're planning on World War III. It's not a matter of if, but when. I fear this is going to involve a nuclear war, however. We're dealing with organized evil. That's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness to find out who's really energizing this whole movement. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com, where you can go and watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs live 4 hours a day and archived 24 hours a day, read our newsletters and get the names of who these people are. That's RadioLiberty.com. And then if you're in a position to help us financially, we can certainly need your help, your financial support, so we can maintain our network of stations across America. We maintain our programs 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We do more talk radio than anybody else in the nation. But, of course, we do this without profit at all because we want to try to save this country for unborn generations. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
A land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 26th February 2014 in the third coldest winter ever. My vote is for the coldest winter ever, but then I haven't been around forever. But they say that since they've been checking, this is